Well, Happy New Year, Devin. So good that everyone came back. You never know after the holidays, right? I never take it for granted. And if you are new today, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. You know, the Bible tells us God's mercies are new every morning, and I believe that's especially true as we start a new year together. You know, when some people look at a new year, it's, you know, they just see it as same old, same old. It's the same thing year after year after year. No thoughts of anything maybe significant happening in their lives in the year to come. Others look to the new year with anxiety and fear. And so I love that new song at the end there. Great, just helps set that, right? That, I can rest in God. I wait on Him and renew my strength. Because some folks are already sensing, you know, that there's going to be some rough roads ahead. Concerned about the outcomes. And the reality is, I think that all those things happen in the new year, right? There's going to be some great things happen this year. Some amazing things happen this year. And there's going to be some really hard things that happen. Because it happens every year. There's good things, there's bad things. It's life, right? There are some people, I think, though, that will see this new year and will face it much like what I read in the famous newspaper ad that was placed in 1900. That's a little while ago. In the year 1900, the ad said this: men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success. That ad was written by the famed Antarctic explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton. Prior to his attempt to cross the continent of Antarctica by boat, which was only possible, obviously, during the summer, the Antarctic summer. I want you to listen to the account of his journey from an article that's titled 11 Incredible Acts of Courage. It says, Shackleton had wanted to discover the South Pole, but was beaten to that distinction. So instead, he decided to be the first man to cross Antarctica by boat. Unfortunately, the crew of Shackleton's aptly named ship, the Endurance, ran out of summer, and their ship became permanently frozen in the polar ice. Though the crew was able to wait out most of the winter, the Endurance wasn't able to, and it sank. She sank, leaving the crew stranded on an ice floe. And to make matters worse, the ship had drifted 1,200 miles off course while it was stranded. Shackleton packed his crew into three lifeboats as the ice under them began to melt and got them safely to Elephant Island. Although the island was solid ground, it was still uninhabited and far from any trade route. Shackleton loaded four of his most trustworthy and necessary crew members into an open-air boat, lifeboat, set off for a whaling station that was 800 miles away. He refused to pack for more than 4 weeks, knowing that if the journey took any longer, they'd all be dead. The boat reached South Georgia, but landed on the wrong side, on the opposite side of the whaling station. The water was too dangerous, so Shackleton took two of his men and made a 36-hour trek over a snowy mountain range to the whaling station. From there, he organized the rescue of all his men without a single fatality among his crew. That's amazing. Did you know that to this very day, intrepid explorers have tried to duplicate Shackleton's feat? But even with all our modern technology, everything at their disposal, none have ever been successful in matching Shackleton's time. Sir Ernest Shackleton has since become an example of courage and determination, and integrity. And I bring up my buddy Ernie today because I want to talk about courageously facing 2026. You know, whenever we're faced with something new, there are some things, as I said, we end up loving. There's many things we don't, right? In fact, we can end up even resenting them or resisting them or running away from them. How do you feel about new things when they come, with change in itself? The thing is, we need to learn how to deal with things when stuff changes, right? Because change is going to happen, whether we like it or not. Why? Because God has ordained it to be that way. In a very old book of the Bible called Ecclesiastes, it shows us that things can, will, and must change. And that we need to be ready when they do. I want you to listen to it from the New American Standard Bible. It says, there is an appointed time for everything. And there's a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Have you noticed, in our world, there are a whole lot of changes taking place that are causing a great deal of anxiety and tension in people. It's underlying a lot of what we do in our culture, right? And I'd like to identify those things this morning, not directly, but sort of some of the things that cause that anxiety in all of us, and as well as bring some of the antidotes that God says we need for dealing with those changes. And the first area is that everything's just moving so fast right now, right? Everything's moving faster, I think, than it ever has. The pace of life is speeding up. And I think technology definitely has a big part to play in that. But a lot of things have caused it. Progress in general always causes things to go faster. Progress has never slowed down anything except maybe the death process. Now it takes longer to die because of medical technology, probably. But everything else sure seems to be speeding up, doesn't it? You know, I've always wanted to ride Japan's bullet train. I thought it'd be so cool. A train that does 150 to 175 miles per hour. That's amazing to me. And when it first came out, actually, a lot of people thought, this is going to be great. I'll be able to see the entire country in no time. But they soon discovered that when you're moving at those speeds, you don't see anything. You cannot focus because everything is moving so fast, it can actually cause anxiety in us. The second area of change that causes anxiety is that every decision is getting complicated. It's just getting more complicated, isn't it? You know, I really enjoy having 21 different flavors at Baskin-Robbins. I do. I like that. But why in the world do I need 42 different choices of toothpaste? What is that? Even simple decisions have become overly complex, complicated, and that can cause anxiety, right? Not knowing what to do. Well, is this one good, that one bad? So those are the first two things. Everything's moving faster. Everything's getting more complicated. And the third thing is especially important for us as followers of truth, and that is every value is being challenged. Every value. And we see this everywhere today, right? Right is being called wrong. Wrong is being called right. There are people today that don't even believe there is such a thing as right and wrong. You know, whenever I hear somebody say, there are no absolutes, I say, are you absolutely sure about that? Because that statement in itself is an absolute. Every moral value that we have had in Canada is being challenged in some way, shape, or form today. The values of faith, family, and freedom are under constant attack. The traditional understanding of words are being rewritten. And recorded history is even being threatened by those who want to cancel it, or at least reinterpret the events. So how are we supposed to live in that kind of environment? When life is getting faster, it's getting more frantic, when simple things are getting so complicated, and when values we have held dearly for our families, that's really held our society together all this time, are now being thrown out the window. How are we supposed to live? Well, I think some really good news in all this is that God created human beings very adaptable. We can adapt to things pretty well. We can handle enormous change, enormous variety in our lives. And that's why we can live in every kind of climate on this planet, from Nigeria to Nunavut. And when changes come rapidly and relentlessly, like the weather in Alberta, or the waves on the ocean, we need an anchor. We need something to help us hang on, or we'll be washed away. So as we start another year, I'm sure you've got some things that you can say, you know, I know a lot of things are about to change around me this year, but I know these things are sure. We need to have some those things that we can count on that will not change. And I hope you have some of those things in your life. My guess is probably some of you have had some things that you thought were unchangeable a couple of years ago, maybe, even a year ago, but have completely changed. So what, if anything, is there that we can anchor onto? Something that never changes, something that's stable, that's secure. Well, the Bible shows us there are actually three things that we can put our trust in, that we're going to look at today. And right off the bat, if you have your outline, that first one is God's love. God's love will never, ever change. There's a theological term for this. It's called the immutability of God. That means he's always been the same. He's the same today, and he always will be the same. In the last book of the Old Testament scriptures, it says this: I, the Lord, do not change. And that was a really important thing, I think, for them at that time. Because over the next 400 years, we find that God never spoke through prophets or through things like that anymore. And the nation of Israel, which we just looked at during our Christmas season, was in a time of, where's God? Like, what's going on? Have we messed up so bad that he's left us? He's been with us in the past. I, the Lord, do not change. God had never left them. So why does God never change? Is it because he can't? That he doesn't want to change? That he's stuck in his ways even? Why does God never change? Well, the reason is simply because he's perfect. God is perfect. And because God is perfect, he can't get any better. And because God is perfect, he can't get any worse. He is perfect. So there is no reason for him to change. So God says, I never change. So how does God's perfection work in our lives then? How does that help us through change? Well, in the account of the prophet Jeremiah, God says this, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's an unchanging love, right? Everlasting. It's never going to fail. It's always going to be there. You were created as an object of God's love. You were made to be loved by God. A lot of people wonder why they're here on this earth. Well, the Bible says that God made people to love them. He made you to love you. It's continuous. It's everlasting. It's consistent. God never gets moody. He never has a bad hair day. God never gets up on the wrong side of the bed because he doesn't need to get up. The Bible says God is always unchanging in his love towards us. And that's great news, I think. Because while God is consistent, me? Not so much. Not so much. I'm incredibly inconsistent. The Bible teaches that God loves me just as much on my good days as on my bad days. He loves me when I feel it, and he loves me when I don't. He loves me when I think I'm close to him, when I'm doing the right thing, and he loves me when I feel like I'm falling on my face. His love is not based on my performance. His love is based on his character. Consistent, continual. He never changes. No matter what happens to you in 2026, folks, one thing you can be sure of, God will not stop loving you. No matter what you go through, nothing is going to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I love how the early church leader Paul explained this in his letter to the church that was in Rome at that time. He said, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love. That means you can go to bed tonight pretty confident of the fact that tomorrow morning when you get up, God's going to love you. He's not changed his mind about you. You will never be loved by God any more than you are at this moment, and you will never be loved any less by God than you are right now. God's love never changes. When everything around you is changing, this is an anchor that you can set your life on. You can be secure in. Because God's love never changes. And just like his love, the next thing we see is his word never changes, which is where we get this from, right? His word is timeless. It's enduring. It's eternal. It never withers. It's always fresh. It doesn't get stale. God's word is never out of date. The ancient prophet Isaiah wrote, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever." Bible is different than any other book that was ever written. It's a library of books. We know that 66 different books of all different types, right? Poetry, there's history, there's personal letters, there's music. Over 1,500 years it was written. Amazing. You know, when people write about things, it goes out of date pretty quickly, doesn't it? Even science books. You know, they write, it takes them 4 years to write a science book, and by the time they put it in the classroom, it's already outdated. because they've already discovered new things, right? That's how fast our human ideas can get out of date. But I want you to pay a special attention to this next verse from the Bible's book of Psalms. It says, long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. God established his word to last forever. This means the Bible is not a bunch of temporary suggestions. They're not, the Bible is not time or culture sensitive. They are eternal principles. Jesus said it like this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It abides forever. No book has ever been more criticized, more ridiculed, more banned, more burned than the Bible. The Canadian government is still doing this to this day. Amazes me. Yet the Bible is as fresh, as relevant, as alive today as it was when it was written over those thousands of years, so many years ago. You know, when the American astronaut, Alan Shepard, was getting ready to go into space for the very first time, a reporter asked him this question. What are you depending upon for your flight? His response is classic. Alan Shepard said, I'm depending on the fact that God's laws will not change. Right? What a great answer. God has established certain natural laws of the universe. He established them. Physics, chemistry, all kinds of sciences. They study these laws to understand how they operate. We can't break God's physical laws. We can ignore them and suffer the consequences, but we can't break them. The law of action and reaction. Heard of it? It says that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Sorry for you who flunked that grade, but I was one. Basically, it means that when one object exerts its force on another object, the second object exerts a force that is equal magnitude in the opposite direction. Okay? That means if you drive your car at 100 miles an hour and ram it into a wall, you don't break that law, the law of action and reaction. That law breaks you. If I jump off a tall building, I don't break the law of gravity. It breaks me. God's natural laws do not change because God's word does not change. How would it be if gravity worked every other day? How would that work for you? I think it'd put a crimp in my lifestyle for sure. The thing is, in the same way, God has established some moral laws for his universe, some spiritual laws for the universe. And God says, these are the parameters in which I intend human beings to live. When we ignore God's laws, any of them, physical laws, moral laws, spiritual laws, we don't break them, they break us. We are the ones who get hurt when we break God's laws. All of God's laws are there for our benefit. When I break them, I get broken. And where do I find those laws spelled out? Right here. It's all right here. The Bible, God's word, because it never changes. Every temptation we face questions God's natural, moral, or spiritual laws. It's a temptation that Adam and Eve experienced or had to face in the garden. The devil came to them and said, what? Did God really say that? Did God really say that not to eat of that fruit from that tree? He makes them question God's word. Listen to what Jesus said. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus is saying, if you want to have a stable building, if you want to have a stable life, you've got to build it on something that's unshakable, that never changes, an unchanging foundation. Does that sound irrelevant to you? Jesus said that 2,000 years ago, right? Surely it can't apply today as well. Just ask any contractor. If you want your house to stay standing, you need a solid foundation. And Jesus said, if you want to be able to handle the stress of the first century or the 21st century, you better build it on something solid, on the truth of God's word, because it is bedrock. Everything else changes, but God's word will never change. And just like God's word, and just like God's love, the final thing the Bible tells us is that God's purposes never change. His plan has not changed. First, the third thing that we can understand and know confidently, God's purpose for my life, God's purpose for your life will never change. The Bible says, God is not a man. He doesn't change his mind. I'm really glad for that verse. Long before you were born, in fact, before the universe was born, God planned you. And that plan has never changed. He created you for a purpose. He made you for a reason. If you are alive today, if you're breathing, God has a purpose for your life. There are no accidents. Your purpose was made long ago. It has not changed, no matter what you've experienced in your life. As humans, our plans change because we're imperfect, we're ignorant, we're impotent. That means we don't have the power to change anything. Not ourselves, not anyone else. We might think we can, but really, we're just fooling ourselves. Because if we could change, we would have already done it. Now contrast that with God. He never has to change his plans. Why? As we've already seen, he's perfect. His plans are perfect. He's also omniscient, which means he's all-knowing, right? And he's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. So God never has to change his plans. He already knows everything that's going to happen, and he already has the power to make sure that it happens. So he doesn't ever have to change his plans. That's why his plan and purpose for you has not changed. But that then can bring up a couple very important questions, right? Can I mess up God's plan for me? Can I blow it? And if I can, how do I get back on track? First, I think human history shows us that people have constantly missed God's plan for them. You can live your entire life and never fulfill the reason that you were actually put on this earth. And that's a tragedy. But God never forces his purpose upon us. It's a choice where you say, God, I believe in you, and I want you to lead my life. I want to follow your plan and your purpose for me. So yes, you can miss your purpose in life, but you don't have to. It's your choice. Second, if you realize that you've missed it, you've been living how you think is best, but it isn't working out quite how you'd hoped or thought, then God, like the loving Father that he is waiting to welcome you home, back into his open arms to fulfill his purpose for you. The psalmist wrote, his plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. That means that no matter what's happened in your life to date, God's purpose for your life has not changed. Now, some of you may think, you don't know how I've messed up my life. You don't know about that sin, that stupid decision that I made at that point in time when I took a wrong turn in life and wasted 10 or 20 years of my life. You don't know that. You're right, I don't. But regardless of what's happened to your life up to this point, God's unchanging word tells me that he has not given up on you. No matter what's happened, even all those dumb decisions that you and I have made in the past, God doesn't do plan B. He doesn't need to. He has an amazing plan for you, and he has an amazing plan for this church in 2026. But in order to see everything he's planned for us fulfilled, we're going to have to be courageous. Not fearful, not doubtful, not even hopeful, but sure. Sure that God will accomplish his purposes in and through us. He's counting on us to trust his plan, to step out in faith, and to courageously navigate the changes, those that he brings into our lives, those that we cause by our own humanness, and those that are forced on us by the enemy, by those that want to harm and hurt us. Our theme verse for this year is from Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous, because you will help these people take possession of the land I swore to give their ancestors. Only be strong and very courageous, faithfully doing everything in the teachings that my servant Moses commanded you. Don't turn away from them. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As we go into 2026, the Lord is with us. And if you want God to be with you through this year, so you can face your future confidently, it's as simple as ABC. Really, what we looked at today: accept God's love, believe God's word, and commit to God's purpose in your life. Those three things we looked at today. That's it. It's all you need to courageously face this new year and every year after it for the rest of your life. All you need: accept God's love, believe God's word, commit to God's purpose, and you will make it. You do these three things, and you'll be able to face anything this year, because you won't have to do it alone. God will be with you. And if this is your desire today, then I ask if we'd all bow our heads as we come to a close of this service. If you want to make that commitment today, say, God, I want to accept your love, I want to believe your word, and I want to commit to your purpose in my life. If that's you today, just quickly raise your hand. Thank you. God sees our hands, but more importantly, he sees our heart. He knows exactly where we're at. And you can just silently pray this prayer in your heart with me. God will hear, God will forgive, God will accept you into his forever family. Just pray along silently. Dear God, with everything that's happening in the world, everything that's happening in my life, I need some stability, Lord. So as much as I know how, I give Jesus my life and I ask him to lead me from now on. I want to start focusing on the things that will never change. So today I accept your unchanging love through Jesus Christ. I commit to learn how to live through your unchanging word. And I commit to learning how to fulfill your purpose for me. God, in 2026, I want to know you better and your plan for my life better. So please forgive me for the years that maybe I've wasted. And I want to thank you for bringing me back on track with you today. And Father, I pray as well for those that just want to take that step that they already put their faith in you. And they just like, God, I know that I need to take another step with you this year. And so, Father, I just want to pray for them as well. God, that they would experience you in a new and a powerful way this year as they commit to you in a greater measure, as they commit to these things, God, to not only accept your love in greater measure, but to reflect your love to those around them. God, to believe your word, to get into your word, to learn your word, to find your heart in your word, and to commit to that which you have gifted them to do. God, each one has been given a gift. All of us have abilities, Lord, to be able to bless one another, to encourage our brothers and sisters, as well as to reach out to those around us who need as well that blessing and encouragement, who don't know you. And so, God, I pray your blessing upon each and every one. God, that they would experience you in greater measure this year. But especially, God, I pray for those that maybe are taking that step for the first time. God, may this be a monumental year of change for them. Lord, where they experience things that they never even dreamed of. As you begin to walk and show them clearly where they're to walk and what they're to do, as you walk with them through this year, that they experience your presence, your peace, and your power in a great and wonderful way. And I thank you for this, and I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.